And good evening. It's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, we are honored with Kimmy Rose Zaff. And Kimmy is the author of Wake Up Your Intuition. Welcome, Kimmy.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And usually we start off with what your journey has been like. So I know that you have had some interesting things that kind of brought you into what you're doing, although I think you've kind of been doing what you've been doing for a long time, but definitely part of your journey was part of your waking up. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, the fact that you're asking me that, that's just I've got goosebumps up and down my arm because I know that connection that you have, because it's funny, I think you also, and I guess you have to excuse me for tuning into you because I can't help but do that. You know what that's like.
I do.
But it's I've been doing readings for a very long time, and up until last year, and it was in the end of July, in July of 2007, I was in a sleep state. You know, I was able to pick up things and share things with people, but I was unable to connect with them at a level of connecting with myself. I ended up having a near-death experience, and that experience happened out of ignoring my body. I was sick. I was feeling dizzy and passing out, and I kept, my friends were saying, go to the hospital or go to the doctor, and you know what my answer was? Oh, I'm going to be fine. There's too many people I have to help. It's probably just diabetes or maybe. And I was just totally not paying attention. And it took going through and getting sick and actually leaving my body to feel that being awake has nothing to do 100% with intuition as much as it has to do with awareness.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. But you also had did you not have something similar with your third child, Matthew?
Yes, I did.
And well, you really like to take it to the max, don't you?
I think it's an Aquarius thing, maybe.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's great. I'm an Aquarian too.
I know. I can feel that from you.
Really?
So, and I think we like to kick and scream when we do things. So.
We do. Yes.
But yes, I did. My actually, I was really sick with Matthew, and I actually had a vision, and I would describe this as an angel, that you could coming. It was a woman, and she was in like a robe, and she was asking me to come with her, and I just remember going, no, it's not time. But the difference between that experience and the one that I had last year is that when I left my body, I was able to, I just could feel everyone. I could feel everyone as one. And also I could feel that presence of God. And I really, it was that moment that I realized that when I'm not honoring myself, I'm not honoring other people.
That's always a profound understanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when it gets you like that.
For how many years? Yes. It's funny. It's funny how that happens, but I'm also very thankful that I think everything has a reason when it happens, and I think we're all waking up right now.
I think it definitely is the time. Certainly there are, you know, a number of us that are on that path, and there will be, I guess, a continuous number as we hit 2012, and it's just a very unique time to be here.
It really is. It's interesting because I was just earlier, I was writing, and I wrote down this just significance, and it's kind of like if you can imagine the energy of a thief who, you know, is running, and you go running after the thief. Well, the difference is it's kind of like grabbing the thief hanging in the air, but turning around and seeing himself. It's like that we're really being called to look at the mirrors and understand why we feel the things we feel, And also the understanding that we're not our choices, that the choices give us lessons. We always have a choice, but who we truly are is whole.
Yeah. Beautiful. So I really like when you talked in your book about, you know, a picture you saw as a child and how that sort of, I mean, it really sort of came in once you had your experience with Matthew, but, you know, the light of the world. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, the picture is a picture of Jesus knocking on a door. And that picture, when I was a little girl, and it's still there, I should say. It's in my grandma's bedroom.
Aww.
And I remember looking at that picture, and I would just stare at it for hours and hours, and I wonder if Jesus would knock at my door. If Jesus was there, even, was I worthy? And I didn't ask. I didn't ask. I would just stare at this picture for hours and hours, and I can remember asking my mom, "Mom, you know, would Jesus be knocking at my door?" And my mom said, "Of course, that door is always open. And even look there, Kim. There's a window. There's a window that you can see through also." And it's a book of Revelation, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will eat with him and he with me." And it was that realization that we're that one. I mean, that God is, and Jesus said that he's part of us and God is within us, and just as God is within him, and he did these miracles, and we can even do greater. It took me, and it was some experiences as a child. I went through an agreement with my grandfather. I went through, I don't like to say the word survivor, went through a situation with him of incest, and I always felt that guilt, or like I had, you know, I was undeserving. And that's why I think when I was little, I would look at that picture, and I started to realize that, you know, if we truly, truly, truly believe in love and believe in why we're here, and that there's such an amazing connection to one another, we can see the truth in people. And I started to understand that as I was wondering, you know, well, if I was a good person, why would that happen to me? And because I learned that, you know, you learn about original sin and, you know, all these things that you learn, and you start to feel this guilt, that I even started to learn that with my grandfather, that Jesus was also knocking at his door.
Mm-hmm.
That it was, he taught me. He actually made an agreement with me so that I could learn forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that that's so, so important for us to know.
Mm-hmm. And so many people don't really understand forgiveness. You know, it's really being a complete opening and being completely grateful to be able to really forgive. It's not just, oh, I forgive you, and then hold on to some of that pain and some of that struggle, but to really, truly be completely open.
Yeah, that's the awareness you're talking. It's just, when you say it, it resonates in so much truth, because it's really about being aware, and being aware is that, you know, that we, so many people, and I say we because it's the truth, live in their pain, that they don't choose to understand that, you know, it's your choice. If when you wake up in the morning, if you want to leave the blinds down, you can. If you want to bring them up and you want to let the sun shine in, you can. When things happen, when we experience things in life, it's up to us to choose whether we want to feel the joy, feel the love, or whether we want to be in that illusion of fear, which is the pain.
Yeah. Well said. I think a lot of people don't understand that that's a choice.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So part of this is also opening the door to your heart. When you felt that, what does that mean to you? How did that resonate with you? Part of this has all been your intuition and building your intuition. We're going to definitely delve into all of that. But, you know, I resonate a lot with people that go into their heart. And I've met a lot of people that also work, you know, solely through their solar plexus, which is a very unique and interesting way as well. It's very much their inner power, but a very different place from where I work, which is through the heart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what was that like for you, and how did that sort of come about?
It was just like it is for you, and it's the fact that we come from our heart to the point where we have learned, that it's like a disappointment, and I'm sure you understand this feeling. You just look at people, and it is true that when you come from your heart, you put an expectation that everyone else does that too. And as soon as you put that expectation on it, you realize that that's not the truth, because the truth is that when you're coming from your heart, even though someone else may not be coming from their heart, it's just simply you reminding them that they already are in their heart. And I know you understand this because I feel you in the point at that point of that sometimes you get, you know how you kind of go through these experiences and the people kind of look at you with the dirty look of, you're in the truth. You shouldn't be in the truth. And it's like, you know, I mean, like being in this field of radio, I've been doing this for a very long time. I've done even regular, the morning show co-host on the top 40, you know, and it's like the thing that they told me was that I needed to take acting lessons.
Mm.
And to me, that was a compliment.
Really?
It was a compliment because acting lessons meant that I needed to not be authentic.
Oh.
They wanted me to be, and that's not in the radio that I do now or like the radio you do.
Mm-hmm.
It was in that part that you were playing a part. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it.
Right.
And you know that too. It's no matter what situation you get in, you just can't, it doesn't feel right when you're not coming from your heart, and that's when you feel that state of being awake, and we fall asleep and we wake up, and you know, we recognize our humanness. But when you're truly, truly in that awake state, you can feel the difference between what feels right for you and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked your concept, and I don't know if it's yours, but the microwave learning. Talk a little bit about that, because I think it's very true that we get caught up.
I'm just smiling because you're saying, like when you're saying, when you say, I like your concept, and you say, but I don't know if yours, and that's just because you know that we all belong to one another,
yeah.
So everything is ours together, and it's so true. I had a teacher, I have five children, and I went in for parent-teacher conference, and I just could not understand the algebra. Now, you know, we're Aquariuses, so we do have our logical mind that mm-hmm. understands the process of things, and I'm like, well, I don't understand how kids, you know, how did they get from this to this? And the teacher looked at me, and she said to me, well, hey, you know, this is the way I have to teach this. You know, this is a microwave generation. And as soon as she said that, I went, oh my gosh, what is going on here? We're skipping steps. And not even skipping steps, we're skipping away from ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
It's so amazingly powerful that sometimes it faces you and you go, boy, you know, it seems difficult, but the truth is nothing is difficult if you have to feel comfortable within yourself. And people that make choices because someone else, or they follow the lead of everyone else, they don't know themselves. And I think that's what we're starting to do, is we're starting to get to know ourselves more.
Mm. Let's pray that that's exactly what we're doing.
You know something? And that humbleness is so important, because all we can do is just be in that honesty with ourselves. You know, Patch Adams, he is such a wonderful man. He is a very good friend, and he has taught me so much about the way you get places. It's been over 30 years that he's taken to build. They just broke ground with their hospital. And people always ask this question. They say, well, you know, he's well known. Why does he not have his hospital built yet? And my answer is this. He chooses to be in the truth. And sometimes the truth takes a little bit longer. But at least when you receive, it's because you did it in truth.
Hmm.
And that's really what we talk about. When I talk about waking up to your intuitive path, we think of psychic, we think of, you know, and part of it is, you know, the psyche or psychic. It's knowing yourself, knowing the yeses and no. It's knowing that what resonates with you resonates with everyone. Truly, because when we all begin to resonate with ourselves, and we do that for ourselves, we start to resonate with everyone around us. And like Pat said, it was really funny. I said to him, this author said, if you imagine it, you can manifest it. And he goes, Plato said that. And he said, nothing belongs to anyone, but everything belongs to everyone. And I kind of listened to him, and I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, Kimmy, don't you see? You can't copyright things, because it comes from somewhere. And it does. It comes from the part of us that belong. Like Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to one another.
Mm. Beautiful. So, the process of waking up. Let's talk about that. I usually just go through things that I found very interesting. So the process of waking up starts with mindfulness.
Yes. That's being aware of the present moment. When you're mindful, you start to notice that you are in a moment of time. You start to recognize that everything in your life happens at that moment for a reason. It's kind of like that. I like to give the example of when you're going to a grocery store, you have to stop at the grocery store because you got to be home in 5 minutes. But you got to get bananas. You know, you really have to get those bananas. Or your child has the next day it's a Christmas party and you're at the last minute and you have to get that treat for them to take. And you're like, I got 5 minutes. I am not looking at anyone around me. I'm not, because I have to get to where I need to be. And when you become mindful, you say, okay, I need to get this, but I'm also going to pay attention to every little thing. So maybe you're picking up what you're needing, and that person that's standing next to you, you just needed to simply smile, or there is something that you need to receive at that moment, or you needed to give. And when you're mindful, it's like a knowing that you're never where you don't need to be. You're always exactly where you need to be.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Truth. We've sort of already talked about it, but ultimately responsible for our choices.
Yes. Responsibility.
It's for some people, that's, you know, a difficult concept, because they think their definition of responsibility means blame.
You know, and isn't it is true, because our responsibility is that when we go during the election and we vote, we count on that person to make all the decisions. Now, that's the microwave generation, okay? Is if you go back in, you can go back in different times where, and I'm going to give credit to like the PTA, where that's like parent-teacher association. It's like parents and teachers, it's the unity, it's coming together and knowing that individual choice in truth represents unity. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? It's your fault that we're here, or your fault. Well, it's our fault that we decided to close our eyes and not pay attention to what was going on. Also, it's also being responsible, you know, and that's a hard thing because the fear would rather give us the illusion that it's someone else.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, once you actually really understand what having responsibility means, it's so freeing. I mean, it's the ultimate in freedom because you get to keep choosing and making different choices and, you know, getting yourself to where you want to be instead of where you think you're stuck at.
You know something, and I know you're interviewing me, but I have to ask you this question because you're so right on this, that when you start doing that and you're in that truth, I don't know if you've noticed this, but your friends change. Even the way you are, you know, at work or the way you express yourself, sometimes people actually, I don't know if you, I was just wondering, do you notice that sometimes people react in fear?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it becomes so painful when I feel when somebody's, you know, shut down and reacting out of fear. It's like, oh.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and then that Aquarius part of you wants to figure out how you can fix
absolutely.
It. And too much. And if that's where part of that just is that being in that awareness or being in that mindfulness that I'm just going to, or going down to the another process, which is being simple, which is simplicity. It's just simply just being.
Right. Yeah. Gratitude.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the understanding that everyone in our lives are a mirror. They're there to teach us something about ourselves. So often I say your personal Judases, the ones that really frustrate you the most, are usually the ones that are there to teach you the most about yourself. And I think that part of this is just having that awareness that every experience that you've ever been through is there because you made this agreement before you came here to experience it. And when you become grateful for it, you no longer buy into that illusion of fear. You just, and I always say, just be. And it's kind of a joke. People look at me and they'll go, okay, yeah, just be. And I'm like, yeah. Because how could you be anything else?
Yeah.
Just be who you are.
It's funny. This week I've gone through a bit of trauma with my little kitten who went for a very simple operation that went very, very bad.
Oh.
And it's heart-wrenching because, you know, and I knew that he was going to be okay. I even knew there was going to be a problem. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. But, you know, he was almost 9 months. He really needed to get neutered.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you kind of got to do it. And then he, you know, he's been in the hospital ever since. This will be the fourth day before. And it's just awful because he had a terrible reaction he had to have a tracheotomy, the poor little thing. So, but you know, we get caught up in the drama.
Yeah.
And even though, like, I mean, I'm so aware, I know that he's going to be fine. I still, you know, you still go through your little things that you have. And, you know, it takes times like this, moments when you're talking with other conscious people, that, you know, to remind yourself, you know, everything's great. Everything, you just have to be grateful for every aspect and every moment in your life.
You are, I mean, it's so right. And that's where you get into that intention.
Which is the next one.
Well, and that's like, like going, that's where, and I know you do this because you go through your mind, you're like, well, I did this because, you know, that's your mind going, you have to go through the million reasons why you did it, and that you're, you know, your cat, your kitty, your, and I think animals are our greatest teachers because they're so unconditional. Mm-hmm. They get your intention at the deepest. You know, how many people can lock their husbands outside and forget about them for an hour without their husband yelling? I mean, it's true. Animals just, they simply accept, and they just love. They do. They love. And it's sad that, you know, that there's so many people that are sleeping that choose not to see these beautiful mirrors. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are. And I know when you look at your kitty's eyes, your kitty's going to say, thank you, Mommy, for doing this so that I don't have to, you know, go through certain things. And I think intuitively you knew that needed to be done. And so your intention was very pure.
Poor little thing, though.
I know. It is. It's really...
It's heart-wrenching when you see them. And now he's got this big gapping hole in his neck. And he's. I'm just looking at him today. I was like, oh, my baby, I'm so sorry.
And you know what the amazing thing is with that is that he looks back. Just that your kitty just looks back at you and says, don't worry.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know what? You'll be there to love me because you just do.
Yeah.
It's naturally part of you.
Yeah. Yes. So intention, our highest good, conscious choices.
Yes. Intention is the vehicle that carries truth from place to place. So your intention carried the truth that you were doing what's best. And because your intention carried that truth, there's no way that it could have been wrong, no matter what happens. Even when, if somebody was to pass away, if your intention comes from trueness and it carries that truth, and same thing, it just can't be wrong. And that's how we get out of that's where we get out of this, where we learn guilt. That's how we recognize, okay, where am I coming from? And you know, when you are really living your life, and you know this in truth, people look at you sometimes like you're an alien, you know. And, you know, although sometimes, you know, some people will tell you if you are, you know, that we're all alien to certain things, you know. And I truly am a resident alien because I'm from Canada, so. but they really do.
So that's the other part of us, is it?
Yeah, maybe that's what, yes. I'm from London, Ontario.
Oh, really? That's
isn't
cool.
That funny? Isn't that funny?
So, yeah.
But see, that's how we all, isn't that neat how, though, you know, miles apart in this moment, it's coming together in unity to share that truth. Mm-hmm. It was on purpose, like we made that agreement.
Yeah. I grew up in Owen Sound, but I'm in Toronto.
Where did you grow up again?
Owen Sound.
Okay, I know exactly where that is. I have family there, so that is funny.
Yeah. And my boyfriend grew up in London.
That is, now see, that's neat.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, awareness.
Yeah.
How we experience our five senses.
Yes. When we move into awareness, we become aware of what Edgar Cayce called the subconscious mind, called the mind of the soul. And we connect with, we're able to tune into our senses, and we move up the different states of consciousness to what Edgar Cayce calls the superconscious or the universal consciousness, and which is the mind of our spirit. We actually are able to merge together as one, and we begin to, when we taste we can taste whether something is good or bad for us. It's knowing that yes is a no. We begin to see, we begin to feel, we begin to hear. And many of us are strong. We can be strong in some areas, and then we build on others. I know with me, I'm very strong in the clairaudience, so I hear. I will get my messages through just hearing things. My mom was sitting with me today, and she goes, I was doing a reading for a lady, and I can't really channel. But I told her this, and this is what I heard. And I just started laughing, and I went, Mom, you said you couldn't do it, but you do. And she does it all the time. She raised me, and she allowed me to be aware that the little girl that I was seeing was real. And that's where it's so important with children to encourage them to stay aware and to keep remembering. Because I think what happens, well, I know what happens is, and of course, as Aquarius, as we say, I think a lot. I know that it's the truth is we again, it's that microwave thing. It's like, let's just skip through this. As a parent, why skip through that with your kids when you can just keep them in that awareness, and then they don't have to go back and remember the way we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you have a chapter on that, but I mean, it's really important that we nurture our children these days about, you know, holding that awareness and not letting it, you know, slip away for those few years that often happen with us when we're in our teens. You know, those few years that we're kind of going through our hormonal shifts and, you know, don't want to be normal.
The 14, age 14 to 21 is when we start to really build a lot of, we build a lot of values, core. We either release the core things that we built, or in our unconscious mind, which holds all our memories from past and present life, and like a smoker who believes, okay, those cigarettes are part of who they are. Between the age of 14 and 21, our conscious mind decides what things it will strongly hold as it begins to manifest for the future. And actually, the age of 14 to 21, that's the best time to really, really work with visualization with your kids. It's the best time to really get them to tune in to believing that whatever it is they want to be, they can be, because they simply are. And my son, he goes to college, he plays baseball, and before he picked his college, he said, Mom, I got to figure out what I need to do. And I said, honey, I said, what is it that you want to do? He said, I want to play baseball at a college. And I said, then just do it. And he looked at me, he said, okay, and he manifested for himself, because he believed there was no separation from what he believed and the truth. There was no fear, and he actually received a $26,000 scholarship.
Wow. Which brings us to the law of attraction.
Yeah.
You're fitting right into these very well.
Yeah, and you know, it's really you that's guiding me there, so thank you, because that's that energy, and that's how, I was talking to I call her my angel. People might call where she's at my manager, but she's my angel. And I was, and it's just like knowing when that you're just going to be talking to someone who is going to just connect, and it's just that energy is going to just blend, because it's that whole truth of sharing what it is that you really want to share, and it has to do with holding space, you know, for each other. And the law of attraction is just knowing what you put out, you draw back to yourself. So if you set an intention, for yourself, it connects with your highest good. And I love this, because the currency that we use money. We use money as currency. Well, so we go in our pockets and we in our purses, and we're like, okay, I need to buy this because, you know, and I need $10. But then we go, I want this, but is this something I want to spend $10 on? You know, so it's like a currency that it has. I laugh when I see, okay, imagine that you're driving a sports car, and then you're going to drive it. I'm like, wait a minute. What about the true currency, which is the spiritual currency? That in order for that to manifest, you need to believe that it's really what you want and what's for your highest good. Because you may manifest that, and how you manifest it is you drain yourself and you have no energy for the things that you really want to do. And so I really believe that when, you know, the law of attraction is much deeper than the physical things that we need. It has everything to do with the spiritual. Mm. The spiritual, and that's the most important.
Mm-hmm. I like to tell people, you know, it's great to think you want $1 million, but really, what are the qualities that that would bring into your life? Because that's what you want to live. It's not really the money that is anything. It's the qualities. So is it joy? Is it passion? Is it excitement? What is it that that money is going to bring you? That's what you want to focus on. That's what you want to radiate out to the world so that it comes back to you. Who cares what numbers are in your bank account? It's really the quality, the passion within you, those qualities that you want. That's what you want.
It is, and the currency, that spiritual currency, that's the thing that I have been. I don't know if you've ever heard of crystalline consciousness, or it's a recognition of this consciousness that we're part of at all times, and it's when you start to, I know you understand this because I feel you understanding it, but it's that understanding that things that we, if we're doing what is authentic, mm-hmm. what is just feels real, even if it's buying a lottery ticket and dreaming and feeling, you can even, if you go into your imagination, and how many times do you say, well, I would go get a limo and I would pick up, you know, this many of my family members, and then I would build an animal shelter and I would do this, this, and that. But the difference is knowing that you don't even have to, it's like knowing that if you do imagine, you can manifest, but because your imagination is the key really to your intuition, and it's also the key to understanding what is right for you. So the true law of attraction is that what energy are you putting out? Is it energy like me? I was like, really? I booked for months and months, and you know, doing readings and help, and people walking around way feeling really good, but there was something within me that just felt like I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't honoring myself. So that, like that infinity, if you look at the infinity symbol, which is like an 8 flipped sideways, what I was giving, I wasn't receiving or allowing myself to receive. Now, you know, I everybody teases me because I always take longer when I do a session with people, because I actually sit and I enjoy. At a deeper level, I'm able to, number one, not focus on here's a time, and this is it, and you know, but also that, hey, you know what? If I'm really helping you, and I'm feeling it. But if I don't feel like you want to really take on that responsibility and understand that currency within yourself, then you know what? I'm not going to be able to help you and do what is for your highest good. And we always help, but sometimes psychics become crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't do anyone good.
Mm-mm. Yes, as I say, it's very disempowering because we often, you know, want to tell people, and I don't do that. I don't get that, I guess, because I've made that so clear within me that I don't want to know things that people aren't ready to know. So don't, you know, don't let me feel it, because once I feel it, then I have to tell you. But if, you know, if you're not ready to hear it, if you can't ask the question, then I won't get the information.
It's so true. It's just, it's, I had I had a gentleman come in, and he had a list of questions. It's funny because he said to me, "Well, can you just tell me, you know, the name of this person?" And I'm like, you know, that's really, I can, it's easy, but how is that going to help you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the message. All of a sudden it came in a name. So I said, "Well, the name of the person that you're talking about," and I said the name, and then his eyes got wide. I go, "Did that make you feel any better? Does it make you believe anymore in the truth or that what I'm sharing? Because it has nothing to do with that. You and I, we can sit and we can say all we want. You can test us. You can test our ability. I've had that tested, and it's like it has nothing to do with ability." Mm-hmm. As much as it has to do with unity and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about living each day in joy.
Living each day in joy is simply just choosing to wake up in the morning. And I always say in the morning, because when's the time we often wake up and we're like, "Oh, I just don't want to go and do this. This is not what I want to do." And you know what? I'm going to say it. I can say, you know, this is what you should do. And it's something that we work on, that I will openly and honestly admit that I encounter I think both as an Aquarius, that sometimes we get so busy because we have so much good intention that we're too busy to take time for ourselves, you know? And so it's like simply saying, when I get up in the morning, I choose this. I'm choosing this. No one else is making that choice for me but me. And so I can choose to be happy about this, or I could choose or to be joyful, happy, and that empowered, or I can choose to feel disempowered, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. It's just, which one do you choose? It really is your choice. I had a friend who, she said to me, "Well, you don't understand because I'm bipolar." and she said, "So it's a disease," and I said, "Yes, it is a disease you have. But do you understand that there are ways that you can work with that, and there are ways in your mind that you can consciously choose to feel better?" And she was still stuck in her pain, that everybody in her family is bipolar, so she just was going to be that way.
Wow.
And didn't matter what I said, because she wasn't ready, but she did send me the nicest letter, and she said, "I miss you." And I simply said to her, "Have you found yourself? Have you missed yourself? Because if you miss me, then you miss yourself too, because it's being that mirror." And just saying, you know what, I can't enable, or you can't disempower. It's about empowering. And that's what you do.
Mm.
That's what you do on your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we spend a lot of time in our negative thoughts and our judgments, and it's really, you know, allowing people to understand that it is a choice. And with regards to, you know, what you were just talking about, you know, we like to have an identity. And so bipolar for her is an identity. It's the same as sometimes when people come and they want a clearing because they think, you know, they've been cursed, and you know, they've lived their whole life like this. And it's like, well, you know, I can do work, I can totally clear up your energy, but this is what you're identifying with. You get a lot of energy by saying I'm cursed or I have bipolar, because you get people that, you know, feel sorry for you. And that's a way of you getting energy. And that's probably the way you always gotten energy. You know, negative energy is better than no energy.
You know something, it's so true. But it's just that excuse that we make, but it's an excuse is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a choice to make an excuse. And so it's just, it's so amazing that when you become aware, and you, it's like you have to laugh at yourself. Yeah. Because you go, okay, I am so ticked off because right now I feel awful. And then you think, let's see, nobody's making me feel awful. I'm thinking it. And like you said, it's just, it is. It really has to do with that awareness. And you know, if we could truly see others as ourselves and ourselves as others, that judgment, the separation would fall away. But somehow we always seem to think that we know better.
Mm.
When I think the greatest teacher is also the student.
Yes.
And we have to remind ourselves of that often, you know?
Mm-hmm. So your book is really great because it offers a lot of examples. It gives you lots of ideas to assist you in your everyday. I'm not sure what more to talk about because I want to talk about so much. So let's let's talk about the different types of intuition.
Yes, we have. There are different ways that we can receive things and. I always like to. There's a very simple. If I could share this, it's a 5 minute, less than 5 minutes.
Great.
It's probably 2 minutes to develop your intuition, and the first thing is if you can imagine you have this big V on the top of your head. Okay, we all have these V's. If you look on the dollar bill, you can see the pyramid on the dollar bill. It's upside down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take that and flip it the other way, and what happened? Put it on the top of your head. And consciously, you are listening to my voice. And imagine that there are these lines in the pyramid where you enter different states of consciousness, and we all have them, and we meet at the top. So consciously, you can hear me. Then you start opening the next doorway into the subconscious realm, which Edgar Casey called the mind of the soul, which has to do with our five senses, which is the seeing, the smelling, the hearing, the tasting, and the feeling or touch. And what happens is you start to feel my voice. And my voice may remind you of something or give you a feeling. Perhaps you can see exactly where I'm sitting in your mind, which is clairvoyance, the hearing. You can hear my voice, and you may hear a message. Maybe all of a sudden you hear in front of her is a door.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it in your mind, which is the clairaudience. And then you get into the clairsentience, which is the feeling in your body. You're feeling certain things. Then you get into, maybe I taste a lemon, and I can smell roses. And because I am aware that her middle name is Rose, you know. Now, how do you connect with these senses? Well, you automatically start connecting with the unconscious mind. So the subconscious directly opens the doorway to the unconscious and says, how do I know what a rose is? Because unconsciously I hold the memory of, if you think of a circle, of a rose. I know what it smells like. I know what it looks like. Now, had you never, ever experienced a rose in this lifetime, you might draw from the unconscious mind from another lifetime, because if you know what a rose is because you've heard of it. And sometimes people go, whoa, deja vu, or, you know, and that's the unconscious mind's way of communicating with the conscious mind. So it's like that subconscious, it's like it's a force that moves up. And then as we move up into that unconscious mind, we can actually take those unconscious thoughts through suggestion, and we can transform them into wholeness as we move up to the next realm, which is the universal consciousness, or the collective unconscious, as Carl Jung called it, and the superconscious, as Edgar Cayce called it. And that's the point where we all meet. That's the point of unity. That's the point of connection. And what happens is when we get to that point, we're connecting with other people. And I always like to say that when you're developing your intuition, you're getting in touch with your intuition, that's the point where you tap into that energy and you draw it in. Now, at that point, when you draw that energy in of, okay, this is what I'm feeling, seeing, you have to move back into the conscious mind. So that's when you take that pyramid and you flip it back inside of the other pyramid. And do you know what you get when you do that? You get the Star of David.
I was going to say the Star of David, but okay, cool, yeah.
Which, how many times have you seen that in your mind? I mean, I like it. It just appears, and I'm like, what is this? and I'm like, okay, that's the promise. But that also has to do with that you're on this earth plane, but you're also, while you're on this earth plane, you're also connected to all people. And it just reminds you to stay grounded, and also that you can be grounded and open at the same time. And that's how intuition, you know, that's how the process works. And of course, there's so many different ways we can use our intuition, through psychometry, which is holding objects. We can, you know, just so many different ways that it's endless.
And I think, you know, typically we start with a dominant sense that we tend to connect with more. And then as we develop it more and more, it sort of blends within all of them.
Yeah. And do you, I find that I will hear, and then as soon as I hear, and with intuition, it's like you're not always hearing aloud, and sometimes you do, but you're hearing your thoughts. And then it turns into a picture. Then the picture may turn into the feeling, and the feeling has a taste and then a smell. And the way to work on really strengthening each of these is by simply practicing them. In your mind, you can see a red ball. You can taste a lemon. And just keep going through them. And what happens is you activate these neurotrophins in your brain that actually open up the circuits, and you're using more of your brain, which really, truly was given to you so that you could remember that connection that you have. And there's all kinds of studies that show that, you know, the human emotion, you know, can be measured in our brainwaves.
Yeah. And you have lots of examples in your book on how to develop each of these areas. So, you know, highly recommend it, to get Kimmy's book, because it's quite a lovely book on assisting you to really understand, to wake up and to really understand your intuition. So let's talk a little bit about nourishing your mind, body, and soul.
Nourishing your mind, body, and soul is amazing, because it really has to do with understanding yourself. And you know, we take so much time in this society to understand ourselves. And the truth is that some people think, and I thought this at one time, in order to get spiritual, I need to get on a plane and go to Sedona. When in reality, if you want to sit and have a milkshake in a restaurant, you already are spiritual. It simply has to do with understanding and, you know, hey, you know what? When I eat this, does it feel right? You know, I have a friend who she's a she's very strict with certain things that she eats. She doesn't want sugar. And I'm like, and she laughs at me because I'm like, you know what? If I want to have something, I know when I need to stop. It's like, okay, and I don't choose to drink alcohol because to me it just takes me way outside of myself. But each and every one of us knows inside, intuitively, what we feel and what we choose to put in our body. It's nourishing your mind, knowing that if you choose happy thoughts, you'll be happy. If you choose negative thoughts, it's going to bring negativity. So nourishment is really nourishing that spiritual currency within us.
Hmm. Now, a lot of people talk a lot about different ways, and I know you mentioned music, and these are different ways to relax, but they're also different ways to connect.
Yes.
And as you say, you can connect while you're eating or drinking a milkshake. But there are some things that really assist people to, I guess, get grounded or, you know, I guess really it's giving them the permission and the space to connect.
And there are some wonderful things that do. I'm a big, I do every class and every seminar that I teach, I work with hypnotherapy. I'm a big believer that because that's the way my mind works. Is that I am a person that likes to have an understanding in a logical way of certain things. So when I teach, I like to show people that through like relaxation through the mind, there's a process. There's a way of really tuning your senses, attuning. And other ways you can do this is through painting.
Mm.
It's singing. My husband does chanting.
Mm.
And it's really getting, because we all have a vibration. I mean, the vibration that we all share is collective, but we all have to know our vibration. And by coloring even, if you color, how many times you color and you just like, you're like, ooh, where was I for 20 minutes? You were in your imagination. And that's the best way to get in touch with your intuition is learn to use your imagination.
Nice, yes. So you don't believe that you have to meditate and that's the only way to get there?
No, I do believe that quiet, that finding the stillness, which is meditating, mm-hmm. is very important. But I am not a big believer that you have to do it for 35 to 45 minutes a day or 2 hours a day. I really believe that because having 5 kids, I have found that I could be with my children and there could be all kinds of noise and the kids are doing this and that. I was in a car, and actually that happened last year when we were going camping, and my husband's like, oh my gosh, I got this big trailer and am I going to go off the road because the road's bumpy? And I thought, I need to find the stillness within. Mm-hmm. I need to go into my senses. So I just simply looked out the window. I saw a tree. And I felt it, and everything else just disappeared.
Hmm.
And it just took a simple moment to get connected with that vibration. And there's so many ways we can do it. And now I really believe that there's not one way, but there usually is some way that works for others. I like yoga. I like the breathing. As a matter of fact, I had somebody read my book and say, do you know that this is based on yoga principles? And I went, no, but you know what? Because you said that, I wanted to learn more about it, you know?
Right. Nice. Talk a little bit about dream walking.
That's really interesting in a lot of ways. And it's funny because when you said that, I felt like that might be something you know a lot about. So if I wouldn't be mixing things up at all, I would love to hear that from you, because I feel like you have so much to share.
You know, I'm, of course, one of the ones that I didn't write down on. To me, dreamwalking is dreaming while you're aware, dreaming and really being in your intuition and really thinking about everything that you want within our being.
Yeah.
So really connecting in with those things that, you know, I think we all have certain qualities that we resonate most with. For me, mine is compassion and passion. So when I would think of dream walking, I would think of, what are my passions? What are the passions that I want to create within my life? And really, you know, sitting and having moments where I just really delve into that. And I wish I did it more often, because every once in a while I kind of forget. But I think, you know, the more we dream while awake, the more we set that intent of what it is that we're wanting, but also, you know, getting our senses involved in the dream that we're wanting to create.
And that's exactly the, when you say that, that's true, is that, you know, living, even Martin Luther King talked about that, is, you know, it's like the vision, it's being, it's simply being. And when you start to do that, it's like if you don't even have to close your eyes. If you want to go to visit Australia right now, you're there. But it's realizing that you are in a dream. And the beautiful thing is with dreams, in dreams, you can truly, truly heal. And you can wake up to truth. And when you, like I said, I just felt like there's that connection of dream walking. To me, it does mean, it just means living. It means experiencing. And the same as what you just said, it means so many things, that it has to do with understanding what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And just being it all the time, really.
Yes. And you know, I have to laugh because, you know, one of the things I wanted to do, I was teaching this class as a hypnotherapy certification course over the weekend. And I went, okay, I'm going to start talking about, you know, this process, this whole process of, you know, of waking up that was given through, after my near-death experience, it was given to me. And that was something that would work for me, that really helps me. And then what I did was I erased it. And it was, I could feel even the people looking and just panicking. And I went, this isn't about the way I tell you to do it. It's about the way you resonate and experience it. You have your own way. It's about honoring what works for you.
Lovely. And so let's end it with namaste and what honoring one another means.
The God in me honors the God in you. And when we truly, truly allow ourselves to be awake, we become students and teachers. And we become teachers of teachers and students of students. And I'm going to say namaste to you. Thank you so much.
And to you. So tell people how they can get a hold of you. I mean, you do a lot of different things. You also have your own radio show. So tell people about how they can get a hold of you and all the different ways.
If you would like to listen to the radio show that I do, you can go to psychiconair.com. I do a show on CBS Radio, Psychic Radio, and it's called Interviews with Kimmy and Steve. And Steve Marshall is, he's hilarious, he's funny, and we have a lot of wonderful people on the show, most of all, just it's about sharing and looking into what's within you. You can also go to the website, my website, and it's KimmyRose.com, and it's Kimmy with an I-E. You can go to the BlessYouProject.com, and that's a nonprofit organization. We're working very hard at helping Patch Adams build his hospital. Mm-hmm. But most of all, you know, if you feel like Wake Up to Your Intuitive Path is the right book for you, then it is. But the way that you could get in touch with me the most is by simply loving who you are.
Nice.
I am so thankful to be able to share with you. And I have a lot of gratitude for what you're doing and your energy. And I just want to tell everyone that's listening that, you know, having a radio program, it can seem like, you know, it is fun, but it requires a dedication, and it requires a passion to love. And you truly, truly do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless, and
God bless.
We'll be back next week. Take care.
Thank you.